Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Old Testament lesson as recorded in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Please be seated. My dear brother and sister in Christ Jesus, I pray that none of you will ever find yourself having to speak to a person who is heading to eternal death. In other words, to talk to a person before the separation of the soul from the body. Yes, that person would be on their deathbed. Would you not attempt to warn that person? Would you not plead with them to repent? Why, oh why, my dear friend, why will you die in your trespasses and sin? Repent and live. To the world, this makes no sense. But today, you will hear why it makes no sense to them and why it does make sense to us. Dearly beloved, that is the very question that God has already asked Israel. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone. So turn and live. Those words were spoke to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel wrote them in his 18th chapter. Would you not, O son, would you not, O daughter, warn your family, warn your friends, warn your neighbors of a coming disaster? Let me take you back a little bit. November the 10th, 2002, an F4 tornado was ripping through this county on the way to Van Wert. Its winds were as high as 200 miles per hour, and that tornado was nearly 1,000 yards wide. It was a monster. And yes, it was headed to Van Wert. And you may remember the movie theater. There were 60 patrons there enjoying a Sunday afternoon. They would not have been warned by the theater manager, a gentleman by the name of Scott Schaefer. The death toll in Van Wert would have been much, much higher than only two people. So let's go to our text today. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman over the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your soul. Just after this text, by the way, God also says to Ezekiel, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Remember your question? Why, oh why, my dear friend, will you die? Dearest, there is only one reason. There is only one reason why a person will die eternally. And that one reason is one word. In one word, it's unbelief. Unbelief is the full and complete rejection of God's gift of eternal life. In faith in Jesus Christ. In faith that Jesus is the Savior, that He is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God who has taken their sin to the cross and died for their sin and then gave unto them the free gift of His righteousness, eternal life. Yet, there are two basic reasons why people will depart this life in unbelief. And the first reason is this. because they never hear that Jesus is their Savior. A called messenger, a pastor, who is authorized and obligated, by the way, to speak the word, neither warned the people of the coming day of judgment, nor did he or she tell the people the way of everlasting life. People will die in unbelief because they do not hear the message. They do not hear the Holy Gospel. They only hear law and law only, or they hear only the gospel and never the law. Both of those are equally bad. Scripture tells us that we are to rightly divide the law from the gospel and the gospel from the law. The man who refuses to warn his parishioners to repent of their sins and live is a messenger who will be held accountable on the last day. Their blood will be on his hands. The second reason, because they hear the good news of Jesus, the Christ, yet they reject the good news. They reject Jesus. The called messenger did what he was called, what he was authorized, what he was obligated to do. And that word of warning, the law, and that word of escape, the sweetness of the Holy Gospel, was declared. It was preached in full effect and by full authority. The message was proclaimed, in other words. The storm is approaching, and the way of escape of death and destruction, dear one, is to repent. In short, repentance leads to forgiveness, which is life. Yet, the person who heard this death and life message ignored it. That is, he or she did not believe the warning and did not trust the promise. The result is eternal death. Remember, he or she didn't die because they did not hear. They didn't die because there was no way of escape. They died because of their unbelief. And God desires that no one die in their trespasses and sin. So therefore, when a person is sent to hell, it is not God's fault. It is that person's fault because they refused. They rejected. They refused to hear the word. They refused body and blood. They refused to believe in the cross. They refused and they rejected Jesus. The called messenger did what he was called to do. And he is not responsible for those who heard the word and who did not believe in it. Such people die because they rejected the message. They reject the word. They reject Jesus. In Ezekiel, the warning is not about an F4 tornado. It's about Judgment Day, dear one. And Judgment Day is coming. There is no doubt about that. And it applies to those who will die the second death, which is the lake of fire. That's recorded for us in Revelation chapter 20. Compared to that day, an F4 tornado is but a passing wisp in the willows. It's a nothing. Though an F4 may end life here in this world, an F4 is not able to destroy anyone's soul. Not only do unbelievers depart this life as a result of such catastrophes, Christians do as well. However, faithful children of God, believers in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who die as a result of a tornado, or a terrorist attack, or a flood, or any kind of disease, even including COVID, by the way, they enter into paradise to be with the Lord forever. So the Lord asked his question, "Why will you die, O house of Israel?" And his question is also directed to his church, Therefore, your pastor asks you, why will you die, O Zion? Why will you die in your trespasses and sin? God does not desire that anyone be lost forever. Why will you die? Only one reason, remember? Unbelief. It may be unbelief because your pastor does not warn with the accusing law, or he does not comfort with the soothing sweetness of the Holy Gospel. It may be because your pastor doesn't tell you about what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Maybe it's because your pastor doesn't tell you that the law will destroy you. There is no salvation in the law. There is only one way to heaven, and His name is Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And He Himself says that no man comes to the Father except through Him. Only one way to heaven. It may be because your pastor departed from preaching the Word of God in its truth and purity. And this is a huge problem in our Lord's church even today. Rather, may I say, it's an epidemic. As pastors exchange their vestments, they take these off and they put on a cheerleader's outfit in order to entice and to empower with songs of manageable law. And they become hawkers of this world's fluid morality to impress who? To impress God? Such hirelings, as Jesus called them, seduce with a conditional gospel, which is not the holy gospel, by the way. Their sermons are no different than a non-Christian who fail to acknowledge the sinfulness of man and who call for compassion and hope without the sin-atoning blood of the crucified one. My dearest, tragically, the voice of the preacher is all too often silent about the Lord's forgiveness. Matter of fact, they even teach their congregations that they don't need forgiveness because they're already holy. They abrogate their sins. And when tragedy comes in their lives, what happens? They run to their pastor, and their pastor says, oh, you have not enough faith. That's your problem, not mine. It is these people who cry out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace through the law? Really? Peace through the law? Many will be lost on the last day because of the failure to preach rightly the law and the gospel. And the pastor, whoever it is, he or she, will be held accountable on Judgment Day. The blood of their parishioners will be on their hands. Why will you die, O Zion? Again, only one reason, and I shouldn't have to say it, but I will: unbelief. It may be also unbelief to the fact that while the pastor does preach the Word of God in its truth and purity, and while your pastor does rightly administer the sacraments in accord with Jesus' command and how He instituted them, the congregation will not receive the Word, or they do not believe the absolution. They refuse to study God's Word. This Bible becomes a placeholder on your coffee table, and it's never opened, it's never studied. Maybe it's because the congregation refuses to pray and to pray and to pray constantly, as Scripture tells us. And your pastor, by the way, on the great last day will stand before the Lord and He will be vindicated. Your blood will not be on His hands. From the beginning of this sermon, dear one, you have heard your Lord's answer to His question. Why will you die, O Zion? Dearly beloved, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Why will you die, O Zion? Dearly beloved, you will not die eternally, because you have sinned. For behold, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why will you die, O Zion? Dearly beloved, you will not be lost forever. Because of what you owe God, due to your trespasses and sin, since in holy baptism, the Lord God made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. Why will you die, O Zion? Dearly beloved, you will not die eternally because you feel so alone, or because uncertainty assaults you, or you're afraid of disease, or you face upcoming surgeries. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why will you die, O Zion? Dearly beloved, you will not die eternally. Even tonight, or tomorrow, or whenever our Lord comes for you. For Jesus tells you emphatically, I am the resurrection and the life. And whosoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So in conclusion, your pastor has every confidence that he has done his duty and will continue to do his duty. And since his call is from God, of whom he must give answer, therefore, dear one, be assured that in your supplications, in your prayers, your intercessions, and your thanksgivings, your Lord hears. He hears his dearly beloved one, and he will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. He will not leave you as an orphan. Be assured, dearly beloved, that you may depart in peace, since you will receive His body and blood for the strengthening of your faith into life and salvation, and yes, equally important, for the forgiveness of all your sins. For in the blood of the Lamb, all your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.